I saw, well, I only saw as Will Smith from his, like,
little... Octavarius, so nefarious, eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius, descended from planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
Hey, everybody!
Hey!
Willaloo! Hey.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Octavarius podcast.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Hey.
Welcome, howdy. Welcome. Let's start off at the far end of the room. Sound off.
Hi there, I'm LP.
Hey, it's Brian.
I'm Gustelby.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Cloud.
I'm Tins.
I'm Keith.
Oh, didn't see you there. It's me, Mark.
Thanks, everyone, who come and see our shows.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
You so guys great. Are awesome. The best audience ever.
They've been a blast.
Wasn't last week hip?
Our hipster show last week was so good.
It was so ironic.
Thank you to all the people that showed up in mustaches.
And the Chicago Reader for coming, too.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
If they said nice things.
If they... actually came. I hope they are.
I really hope they
maybe
came.
The Trib too. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool if the Trib already came. Well, Mark, I see you've brought the mailbag for once.
Yep. Yeah, I remembered it this time. Here, let me just get this open a little bit. And...
Oh.
This one comes to us from a Mozzie Guillen. From
are you?
Mark. What?
Mozzie Guillen.
Mozzie Guillen.
Mozzie?
Yeah.
Mozzie.
How's from, Mozzie spelled, Mark?
M-O-Z-Z-I-E.
Oh, you mean like Ozzy?
Similar, yeah.
Similar, like the same
but with
as
an
Ozzie
M
Guillen.
To be fair, he's got a lot of family.
Ozzy, Mozzie, Jazzy, and Clozzy.
He does have a son named Oni.
Like Oni Press?
One, Oni Guillen?
Like Oni Press, the comic book label?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well,
Oni means one in Japanese, I think.
Not in
I think
Spanish.
There's other languages that can
no,
mean
that's actually,
one.
I think each is actually
Ichi.
One.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah.
Then
so what's the question?
What do you want to know?
Well, Mozzie Guillen from Bridgeport, Illinois, writes in, hey guys, I used to do wrestling in high school, and it was a really wonderful team sport. But recently I've been watching what is called wrestling on television, and they all show up in spandex and punch each other. Sometimes there's chairs and tables involved, and other times... Well, there's other things involved.
Did he have a really long space in the letter there, Mark?
Yeah, well, it was like a double ellipses.
Yeah,
it's like five or six ellipses.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ellipses.
I probably didn't
like,
even pause
like 15 because ellipses is three dots.
What is up with that? Mozzie Guillen.
Okay, so I guess you're talking about wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what is up with that?
Yeah, our show's coming up as wrestling.
Featuring
games.
Former WWE superstar, current Ring of Honor superstar, and current star of Kayfabe on Wednesday nights at Comedy Sports, Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana.
Woo!
That'll be
we're
fun.
That's
exciting.
100% true.
Yeah. He's
funniest wrestler in the business.
That's 100%.
That's all great.
That's very subjective, but I know him, so he's pretty.
He actually has his own wrestling podcast too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I could
really?
Be listening to that.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't know he has a wrestling podcast. He actually has some pretty
good
guests.
Who does he
Colt's
do with?
Such a nice guy. What a good guy.
Maybe we can do like a cross.
He's had a crossover show.
Ooh,
yeah, he's had Mick
that
Foley. He's had CM Punk, of course. He's had a bunch of people.
That's pretty.
We need. You think we could get him in on our side so we could have like Mick Foley and CM Punk guest podcast on ours.
Well, hasn't he come to the rehearsal? It's not too
yeah, he'll be in rehearsal.
Next week?
He was in rehearsal already.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Rehearsal as you're listening
thanks for
to
coming
this,
to
maybe.
Rehearsal.
Podcast rehearsal.
Thank you.
Yeah. Podcast rehearsal.
Yeah. Cool.
But wrestling. Professional
did you
wrestling.
Guys? Did you guys all grow up liking wrestling? Because
yes.
I did.
I was not allowed to.
What?
You were not allowed to grow up?
Both.
Pizza Pen.
No, my dad, like... hated professional wrestling outwardly.
Why?
To me,
not enough puns.
No, I think he's like, it's so lame. Like, it's all just a show. But then I would go over to my friend's house, David Ritterelli. Strangely related to Cloud.
Strangely related. So the most common related. Way people could be related familially. Yeah.
So weird.
And Dave would have like all these awesome wrestling video games, and we'd have like sleepovers, and we'd watch like the like WWE.
Oh, what was Baby Cloud doing?
You guys would watch like a pay-per-view. I was the annoying sister. Like, can I hang out with you guys?
Cloud was being locked in the laundry room.
It is not true.
And that happened. I felt really bad about it.
No, I would try and be cool, but no, yeah. Off of that, like, my brother was obsessed with WWF at the time, and like, at like daily, he'd be like, "Lisa, come here. I'm gonna try out some wrestling moves on you." And we like go in my like parents' bedroom room, and he'd like just try out these different moves and these wrestling moves, and I was like, it's kind of painful sometimes.
Yeah, so like, but did he ever like hurt you to the point where you cried and were gonna tell on him?
Come on. It was all, not that I remember, like, no? I remember it was all in fun.
I had to convince Christopher one time, because we would that too, like, my cousin Christopher.
Oh, every kid did that.
Yeah, well, we did wrestling moves on each other.
Yeah.
And one time, he would choke slam me, and he couldn't really pick me up, because I was just bigger than him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would do all the complicated stuff, like, I would do, like, power bombs and you know, all this
other stuff. Your power bomb, Christopher?
What's a power bomb?
Wow.
You just kind of flip them and slam them. It's hard to describe on the podcast. But I did a Razor's Edge, and I always did it very gently, and it was always on the mattress.
Yeah.
But one time I did a Razor's Edge to him.
Oh.
Which is Razor Ramon's
finishing
move. Yeah, or an Outsider's Edge.
Yeah, I did the Razor's Edge to my brother, and it did not end well.
Yeah, I dropped him from, I didn't kneel first and then drop him. I just dropped him from my full height.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did.
And he,
did not go well.
He was, I spent like half an hour convincing him not to tell on me. And he's such a champ, he didn't, so.
What a good
guy. Very convincing.
Yeah.
Then there was the...
Just say you fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
I my little brother's friend, I DDT'd on the hardwood floor.
Oh, God.
Injuring him greatly.
God. Oh, man.
DDT is my favorite move, though.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Even flow DDT.
It's easy to do, and there's so many different ways to apply the DDT, which is... If you don't know what a DDT is, listeners, it's imagine putting someone in a headlock, but they're facing downward, and then you drop them on their face, and you kind of fall down with them,
yeah.
And it's supposed to be. It's usually like either a setup for a finisher, or it can be a finishing move for certain people.
Well, DDT stands for double death technique, does it?
Something similar.
Yeah.
Break
your neck doing that?
Yes,
that was,
you can.
Yeah.
He almost did.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's very dangerous.
It was
the only
Jake
move...
the Snake and Raven, that was their finisher.
Dude loved it.
Dude loved
double
it.
Arm
yeah,
DDT.
He did a double arm DDT. The Pedigree is essentially a double arm DDT with a guy's head
Triple
between
H's
someone's legs.
Yeah.
Pedigree is awesome, by the way.
Really, I don't think it's. I think it's okay.
I think just I like the setup of it because you have to like tie the person up, sort of like the way he does it. It's like, I don't know. I mean, so much of the move is the stuff that's not the move by the superstars. You
it's
know,
it's all the show.
It's the
like
show.
The people's elbow.
It's, yeah, the people's. I mean, clearly that is the most electrifying move in sports entertainment today. and it's not that way because it's an elbow drop. It's because he dances right before he drops the elbow,
and
the people spring alive for a second when they're hit.
It's like an electric shock, like they got shot by those paddles.
There really is something amazing about wrestling in the when the wrestlers look to the crowd and say, like, you know, should I really do this to them? And that's like one of the most wonderful things in the world is knowing that the performers are aware that you are in the audience and you are invested. And they check in with you to make sure that you're with them when they're about to do that thing they're going to do.
So I should almost kill this dude. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And
well,
it's
like,
so exciting.
It's why I think it's why they're like they're finishing moves, and I'm doing this in quotes.
Uh-huh.
It's because they're finishing moves, because I feel like when they look at the audience and they like get their approval, they get the crowd and it cheers them up, it gives them magic powers, so that a simple leg drop, mm-hmm. which would otherwise not work on someone like The Undertaker, would work if it was done by Hulk Hogan, because that's his finishing move.
Yeah.
That's what he's perfected with magic powers.
Yeah.
Well, a thing is, over time, people have become a lot less... convinced by a leg drop, because the original idea of a leg drop is that when Hulk Hogan drops his leg on his opponent's neck, he is essentially crushing his opponent's windpipe. and thus stunning him for long enough to get the pin and win the match.
Okay.
And but most of us, when watching wrestling, find that to be a lot less than devastating.
And so, shaking his head. Our producer Amy was so upset by someone getting their win right.
Yeah,
because they're not friends if that happens.
But there's something spectacular that has always just drawn me to wrestling because of the incredible commitment to entertaining the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like yes, certain things are scripted. But they also are talking to each other as the match is going on, and it's all about communication and the relationship between the opponents, and it's just so fun. It's all geared to fun.
The first wrestling thing I ever saw, before I ever saw a match, I saw probably like just hours of wrestling promos with Lisa's brother, because we'd never hang out like when wrestling would actually happen. It was before, like, DVRs and stuff, so we'd only get to watch it if there was, like, a late-night rerun or something. But I saw maybe, like, back and forth, like, five times the same promos for a Kiss My Foot match between Bret Hart and Jerry Lawler.
I remember that.
I remember.
That was one of the first King of the Rings. I think it was, like, the second one.
And the image that stayed with me, like, the thing that I always think of if someone brings up wrestling, is Jerry the King Lawler standing in a horse barn with his feet in manure.
Yeah.
Talking about how he's not washing his feet for a month, and then when he wins, Bret Hart is going to have to kiss his feet, and they're just covered in... But he was wearing, like, a king costume and standing in manure.
Cool. Yeah, he had these beautiful velvet blue, deep, deep velvet blue... robes.
Just standing in animal shit.
And he would like...
What?
You think he got worms?
It's quite possible.
If you stand in shit, you'll get worms.
Yeah, it's not
fake shit, don't you think?
Yeah, no. I have no idea how they made it. Why
wrestling,
they
wrestling is real.
It was great. I remember just being so impressed by it.
He'd like take his foot out and like squelch it around in his toes.
It was
like,
not real. Yeah.
It's awful.
It's such an interesting later on, because I used to watch it as a kid, and I didn't really give it any thought about why I liked it so much. And then later on, like I've watched it again, and it's such an interesting theater form.
Exactly,
it's stage combat, but it's a show. There's a storyline. And there's some things happening with the characters, and there's emotion, well, pseudo emotion behind them.
And like everybody has their moves that they do well, and it's kind of like a showcase of those moves too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're always waiting for the Undertaker to walk on the ropes, and then jump off the rope.
Undertaker's so good.
And chop his man. Like I love suspending my disbelief for wrestling. Like I love pretending that the Undertaker is a man who has risen from the dead only to fight for my entertainment.
He's got
that's
evil
awesome.
Dead powers.
And what's great too is that a lot of the storylines are garbage, and the acting is historically it has not been all that great. But you know what? They're putting on an hours long live show every week.
Is that another letter?
It's
actually
next week.
Actually, Tins, Monday Night Raw is 2 hours. It's a 2 hour show.
Well, that's why I said hours is because
hours.
I wasn't sure if it was
sorry.
Two or three.
I thought you had an apostrophe.
And when it's two men doing a fight for, I mean, the average match would be like 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So you have to be up there, and it's definitely a different form of improv, where they know they have some moves planned out, they know the big stuff that's coming, but have to vamp for, a good 15
But still,
minutes.
It's a lot of improvisation, but still, I'm sure there are a lot of key points that you have to hit.
Yeah,
so it's
there's
still a lot of memorization that you can't afford to fuck up.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me.
And the other, I remember being in, high school and college, and being like, I really think it's fun, and people would be like, it's stupid, it's fake, and I just remember thinking like, well, you have trouble getting like 100 people to come see the thing that you're doing. They're packing like 40,000 seat venues for their show.
Yeah.
So when you figure out what
like
that many people
watched,
like,
thing ever?
Yeah. Wrestling is the most popular thing in the world. Like, everybody... It is...
It's such a weird thing to say.
Monday Night Raw is the longest-running televised show.
You could watch it in, like, any language. It's not like there's a lot of dialogue. Yeah.
Not Spanish, because the table breaks.
I imagine everyone in Mexico is just always saddened that they never get to finish the main event.
because traditionally, particularly the WWF, now WWE, traditionally in the pay-per-views, if it's a big match... The Spanish language announce table always gets broken. Somebody gets thrown through it. So I can only imagine what it must be like to listen to that broadcast as their table gets broken every fucking show. Like, I wonder if they...
I wonder what they say. Where they're like, oh no, not again!
It's so terrible.
Dios mío, una vez más!
Someone has broken our table once again, and now we have to lose without the table.
So, all right.
But, one quick thing. Sorry, LP. But, Lisa, off of your thing in any language with wrestling... The reason how I got introduced to wrestling was from my great-grandmother,
wow,
who, when she first immigrated to the United States in the early mid-50s, she one of the few things she could understand on television was professional wrestling.
That's so cool.
And so that was what I watched when she babysat me. Huh. And we were in it together. And she would cheer and boo and... She gets so excited. And so when I was 16, when I was first able to drive my own car, I got tickets to a live wrestling show so I could take my great-grandmother. And we went to a WWF show in 96.
What a good man.
That's awesome. That's
the main event was Shawn Michaels Vader. I believe you were at the same show.
I was at the same show. Yeah. I actually went with my uncle. My uncle...
Uncle Dirk?
My Uncle Dirk is... He's a professional personal trainer, and he used to be a bodybuilder, and he used to work out with Kurt Hennig and Mark Calloway, better known to people as Undertaker.
Undertaker.
What are you talking about? You didn't tell me this.
I have told you this.
I would get Uncle Dirk to tell me Undertaker stories all the time.
I don't think they just trained together in the same, or it might have been
something.
Well, anyway, he took us to that event, that Vader and Shawn Michaels main event match. And before that, though, the reason I got into wrestling is because my grandmother, because a lot of her brothers were actual luchadors in Mexico.
Awesome.
And so she would watch it with me. And when I was growing up, I used to watch it with my grandmother and my two uncles, who were also watched it too. And we used to have pretend fights. They used to toss me around. And they were always, the big wrestlers at the time. So, one of my uncles was Hulk Hogan. The other one was Ultimate Warrior. And I was always, 1-2-3 kid. Or he was Lightning Kid back then.
Yeah, the Lightning Kid.
Yeah.
Who, when he pinned Razor Ramon on Monday Night Raw in his... I believe it was his Raw debut.
Yeah.
He pinned Razor Ramon, and then he was forever known as the 1-2-3 kid because it was such an upset that such a great, awesome wrestler like Razor Ramon would be pinned by this unknown jobber.
Then he changed his name to the Lightning Kid when he pinned Razor Ramon the next time they faced, and lightning crashed through the arena, killing them both.
And that's when he became known as the Lightning Kid, and his career took off right after he died.
I reminded LP when you told that story about your wrestling with your uncles.
Yeah,
me and my brothers used to wrestle with our dad, and it was a lot. It was a lot of fun, but I would get so upset because I was much smaller, and we were really young, and he would wrestle with us, and he was of course much bigger, and he would just take so much joy in beating the crap out of him. My dad would D'Lo Brown had a move called the Frog Splash.
Oh, I love the Frog Splash. And I loved how D'Lo would waggle his head back and forth and act.
And my dad had a favorite thing growing up of first A, mispronouncing anything that I liked.
He does that a lot.
So he would always call out the frog splot.
Wait, this is totally intentional?
It was. Oh, it has to be. It's been almost 25 years.
My father did the same thing. It's very mean.
Oh my god. It's so annoying.
It's like, a frog splash, Dad.
Get ready for this. He'd be like that. Get ready for this frog splat. I'm like, no, it's just frog splat. And then he would jump on me, and he was much bigger, and I couldn't move. And I'm like, one, two. I'm like, Dad, get home! Get home!
And again, weeping.
I'd be so upset at my dad. I'm like, God, you're so annoying. You're ruining everything.
Now you could probably...
That's what I do. I'm always roughing my dad up, and he's like, easy, does easy.
I think we did that. Like, every Saturday morning, my dad, my brother, and I would, like, wrestle and stuff in the living room. And, like, I just remember going, like, wake him up and be like, we're gonna go wrestle.
I'm in the Mark train with the nerd father. Who does not wrestle the son. In fact, I was sort of in the same boat as Mark did. My parents didn't really want me to, but I did anyway. They go to bed at like 6 at night. I mean, I know. It's not really night at 6, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, they go to bed. So, and wrestling didn't come on until 7 to 9, so if they were in the room or still awake, I would just wait till 8 and watch, like, the second half, because the second half is better anyhow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the very first, when they're opening is usually the best part, because it sets up everything. And it's,
I love
awesome.
The opening.
So much fireworks.
But then, the second half is awesome.
How awesome is it to just have fireworks when you walk in a room? I want that.
Yeah.
I want fireworks when I walk in. Oh, man, Tins, we need to... figure out a way to do that, like, in our house.
Get pyrotechnics?
That's a terrible idea.
Just some way, like, you know...
sparklers.
Right when you come home, you, like, you know...
Theo,
come out.
We have a single candle on our entertainment center, and sometimes we forget to blow it out at night.
Okay. All right, no fireworks. Maybe we could rig a way for it to play music every time.
Entrance music would be cool.
I've got a compromise. Yeah. Just anytime Brian raises his arms to the right and lifts them up, you all have to turn the lights on.
Oh, awesome. Oh, how sweet is that?
That would be awesome.
That would get aggravating after a while.
I guarantee it will, though. And it has to happen
It'll look so shitty because we have a 3-click lamp. So it'll just be me raising my arms like in clicks.
See me and Tim scamper to the corners of the room, climbing on couches to turn on the lamps quickly.
And then one of us scurrying to the other side of the bar to hit the slightly smaller light.
Which will also warm up in 3 minutes.
Don't worry, I will raise my arms in complete synchronicity with you fellas.
It'll be a slow raise.
That's okay. It's a
boring
That's
day
okay.
at the mansion.
It's a slow raise.
That's okay, man. The fans will be with you if the music's cool enough.
I'm excited for this.
How cool is it to have entrance music, though?
We do have entrance music.
Like, I love that Octavarius has entrance music.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome.
It's the greatest thing.
Thanks, guys.
I believe that's the name of the post.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah.
You're welcome. We have a theme song.
Yeah, it's so wrestling-y. I remember when we first started recording it and realized...
Sounds very much like Stone Cold.
It starts out with your laugh.
That's awesome.
Well, actually, yeah, that guitar riff, I did base it off the Stone Cold theme.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the one of the first things we recorded.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite wrestling theme?
I liked Chris Jericho's wrestling.
Break the Walls Down when he was with WWF?
When he was first in WWF. Is that Rage? Does
no,
that?
No.
No, they, it just sounds
don't
Rage.
Don't they do a song, or is
no.
they just
no,
sound
they
like
they sound
that?
Like no. the DX band, but it's not DX.
Oh, the DX theme is pretty good.
That one is one of my favorites, for sure.
Are You Ready?
Yeah.
I remember from college... Nick McCool is not here to defend himself.
Well, good.
But
you wouldn't
I think
do a good
was,
job anyway.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's embarrassed because of the show we did with
him. Oh, yeah. We made fun of how he's so
how
bad at
How many shows in a row
girls?
Has that been?
Yeah.
We've embarrassed him like way too many times.
Yeah.
Is it really been... It
no, it's
like
only
it
been
the past
two.
Okay. Yeah,
it's the past
it's
two,
like
but...
Two.
Yeah, pretty much all
unless,
the shows.
Unless so, we did it in that hipster show. We just
oh, yeah. Maybe we'll do it.
Man, yeah, I guess I will. I live with him. It's easy.
He's just done so many dumb things. He's
yeah.
But well, I mean, so, it's also that we rip on him on the podcast a lot for the same thing. So
he doesn't talk at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we give him the seven words and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
I'll make
my
sure
freshman,
he gets at least seven words.
My freshman year, I think he was trying to impress my other friends that were girls at the party. And Pour Some Sugar came on. The radio or whatever, and he like proclaimed as loudly as he could, "This is my theme song. When I walk in the room, I want this to be playing." And I like
really
remember that.
Why is Lauren's voice higher to emulate?
I don't know.
This is mine. I'm Nick Makula.
All of our impressions of Nick Makula are always.
Hello! It's just me, Nick Makula.
Hi!
If we start doing this week, he won't realize it until next week.
Those are all Mrs. Doubtfire impressions.
Toodaloo!
Oh, dear!
Hello, dear!
Oh, dear!
Don't get us started!
We'll be wicked, wicked,
cacaw! Hi, Zumba, my dearie!
So what did he pour sugar on himself? What happened?
Well, yeah, he had his own dance and everything. But
he did a dance.
Well, so yeah, he poured the sugar on him. You know,
like actual sugar.
Well, no, not
he made
real.
A mess.
It was.
So what did he do that?
It was
made
all
a mess.
It would be comical. If he just
it would be. I would like that. No, but I've always wanted to test this theory, like to see if sometime I like. I don't know, somehow set it up so that as soon as Makula walks in the door, I play.
Well,
you
really
he
won't.
I guarantee
done that
I know,
at
I
the show.
I know, but I don't want to mess up his show.
Fuck his show, man.
We
you know,
least,
he's probably
like,
forgotten.
Like, next
now.
Time, we could yeah. at least, Lauren, like, next time he's over in the next week, he's not going to hear this podcast for another week.
Yeah.
We could still, do the experiment.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
That would be fun.
If you guys could have a theme song, what would it be?
We're already rolling. That's so hard to pick.
Here comes King! Here comes King! The friendliest guy in the world!
Ba, 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 ba.
I can see Make Him Laugh be yours. Make Him Laugh, Make Him Laugh. I think that would be great for Keith.
I feel like anyone would get sick of that song
well,
like every
yeah,
time they entered a
crowded
room.
Make Him Laugh, Make Him Laugh. Don't you
but
know
like,
that?
Wouldn't you? You'd get sick of any song if it was always your entrance music.
I disagree.
No, you really never get. I dude, every time I hear the Octavarius theme, I'm happy.
But we're all. But like, if it's your entrance music
it
in life,
come on my iPod.
Like
I'm like skip.
Dude, Shawn Michaels doesn't just walk around, and Sexy Boy doesn't just like play when he walks.
Well, I thought this question was like for your life, because like. That's a very different question.
It wouldn't happen anytime you're into a room. It would happen anytime
you make an entrance.
Yeah, like you come in.
You can like if you want.
Yeah,
yeah like
mine would be Rage Against the Machine's "Calm Like a Bomb."
Oh,
starts
that's a
off
good
slow.
One.
The thing
how
is,
it
the main thing is the best part of the theme music is like the first 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So you got to pick something that starts out right.
So it's not like what song do I really like? It's what first 15 seconds really.
That's what Calm Like a Bomb is.
What about
I
Final
choose, like,
Countdown? That would
when
be
everybody's
awesome.
At prom and like everybody's like, oh, saying hi to each other. Everyone's in the big dance floor. Everyone's like looking around saying hi, looking at each other's tuxes and dresses. Then someone goes like, hey, wait a minute. Is Keith here yet? Hey, it's Keith! Hey, it's Keith!
Like, you couldn't see this, but Keith was just like, he was like waving his arms like... Hey, it's Kate. I wish you would walk in like that.
So I would like wiggle, like move my arms in
you
a circle.
And while that's going on, it's just fireworks going left and right, and it's
setting the house on fire. And I just keep dancing as the room catches ablaze.
I don't know, Keith. I don't know what I'd think of you like if I hadn't met you yet. And that was the first time I had known you. Was you making an entrance, just saying your name a lot,
and then burning down prom.
Not only that. The fireworks, and then there's a giant video board behind him just showing highlights of Keith doing stuff. Like making a steak and
or a miniature
like,
golf
like
course.
Folding laundry and, you know.
It's a lot easier to imagine this
song.
Scenario as a cartoon. I can't seem to imagine it in real life, Keith. I've got like a cartoon character
Roger
of Keith
Rabbit.
Doing everything. It's a lot faster speed, too.
I imagine, Keith, that you just live your life like it was a cartoon.
Yeah. sort of.
I try.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
I would say I would go. I'm leaning towards Papa Roach. I've always I've been harping it ever since you guys walked out in that one show to Papa Roach.
Which was so funny. Genius.
No, that was I think that was one of our best entrances ever when Papa Roach accidentally came.
I don't even like that song very much. I just think it's so specific. Like what you hear the first 3 seconds, you know exactly what's happening. It's like, cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Burn suffocation, no breathing. Don't kick a wicket when I cut my arm.
Was that at Playground, or where was that at?
That was at that show that was terrible.
Wait,
no, it was at the CNGM benefit. The show went great.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Different show.
Wait, we came out to. Oh, that's right.
That yeah, because they didn't have entrance music ready, and the girl on the soundboard was like, "I'm just gonna give you some music. I'm just gonna pick whatever I got."
Yeah, I told her over the radio. I was like, "Hey, just play whatever you got. Something that's funny." And she was like, "Well, Papa Roach, it is." Then.
Well, no, it was my iPod that they were using.
That was your iPod.
And so my theory is they just hit shuffle, and out of all the stuff that could have come on. Papa Roach came on. So whereas we could have come on to like a podcast accidentally,
that would have been weird. We'd be like, "Hey, everybody!
Oh, you surprised us!"
I remember she was like, "Yeah, would Papa Roach work?" And I was like, "Yeah, that will work."
You had no idea. I bet you didn't even know what that song was.
No, I know what that song is. I watched TRL for like those years when that was on there, and I like totally loved
Total
Papa
Request.
Roach.
TRL. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I still wanted Backstreet Boys to be number one, but Papa Roach was number three, so I'm just saying.
Were you pissed when Limp Bizkit kept beating Backstreet Boys in NSYNC?
Yes, I was pissed.
I'm not going to defend either. I'm just asking.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
I did have a crush on them.
I think if I had a theme song, it might be like, I don't know, I think this would be what I would like. I don't know if it would actually fit me. But I think it would be really fun to come out to Weezer's The Greatest Man That Ever Lived. Because it's like that beautiful...
It's too slow.
Well, no, because it goes... do boop 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 boop. Cop siren, and then it's like bum 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 bum, bum, bum. And then like I just come out and strut as fireworks just flank my ass everywhere, and everyone just gets like golden fire coming around them. It's crazy.
What song would you not want to entrance music to be?
I know the Cha Cha Slide.
without missing a beat.
The Chicken Dance.
Yeah. The blue song, I'm blue.
I'd be okay.
I wouldn't mind that as an entrance.
Yeah, I hate neither. That song.
I think there's a big 90s theme going on with all the songs we're picking.
Party favorites.
I wouldn't want, like, Are You Okay, Annie? Annie,
okay. Smooth Criminal. You wouldn't want that?
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't know. That'd be a wrong impression to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want, like, Sinead O'Connor.
Why does he like that?
Why is he so okay?
Why not the Michael Jackson?
I would like the I'm Bouncing on the Walls by Sugar
Plum. I'm bouncing on the walls again.
So wow.
I like that one.
So I cannot believe you did that reference.
It's a really fun song. I got you,
Lauren. Wait a second. What's
Remember that song?
I almost saw them live.
I thought they weren't even, like, I totally forgot they existed.
I knocked them out of my...
There was,
oh,
like,
God, they were gone.
One really sad day in my childhood.
And you picked it.
I was a friend of mine... who will not be named.
Is this the one sad day of my childhood?
This is another sad
day. What a lie. What a lie you just told.
No, it's just like one of
if
the
sad.
If we
could put just like edit slices of all the sad stories
I had
right after that. Or right after he's
story,
like one.
Story.
So, no, at the time I went to Tower Records and bought tickets to what I thought was going to be like the kickest, assest concert I could go to all summer. It was going to be Less Than Jake. Yellow Card before they were huge.
Nice.
This band I really like.
They got pretty
They were on the yellow card, though.
Before the studio tuned the violinist well. And this band, the band I really wanted to see called The Stereo, and Sugar Cult was like the headliner.
Yeah.
And my friend, who we all know and I won't name on the podcast, totally ditched me. No. Totally ditched me. And we had paid like $35 for tickets or something. It was like easily the most expensive concert I'd ever paid for, like on my own. And I got totally ditched.
Wait, wait a second. You paid $35 to see a show headlined by Sugar Cult?
It was like a full day.
Yellow Card, dude.
No, Yellow Card was Jay. Not. They were not.
Why were you going in the first place?
Because I loved The Stereo, whom I still love.
If I came home and said, hey, guys, dude, there's a concert going on. I can't believe it. It's at the Cubby Bear for whatever reason, but it's Gorillaz are opening for Radiohead. Who's opening for Yellow Card? Like, whoa. Yellow Card.
Wow.
It's only $35. Yellow Card. Let's go.
They had one song from their like demo CD that I liked way more than any of the songs that were famous. And the time that I saw them live, the violinist did a bunch of backflips off the bass. So they were sweet in my book, like while he was playing.
I know people that are just obsessed with Yellow Card and like know all the words.
Wait,
it's
like
now?
Still?
Now you have...
I can't even think of what their song was.
I can't even remember the song of theirs I liked.
You know what I think of when I think of Yellow Card? Yeah. I think of the song Yellow by Coldplay.
Yes, I like that song.
That's a good song.
It's better than anything Yellow Card.
You know what song I wouldn't really enter to? Yellow by Coldplay.
You know, I would probably not want to enter to Yellow by Coldplay.
That would be so, there's nothing that could...
That would be so bad.
Like, what does it say about that guy?
Like, if I was going to do a real sad sack story...
What? Maybe. You have more?
No, I'm saying that would be an interesting intro.
Yeah, that would be.
You know, a song I would love to enter to, like a would be if I had time. Like it would take a little bit of time, but the song "Fanfare for the Common Man" by Aaron Copland. It starts out with boom.
Oh, the natural song.
It's very similar, yeah.
It's the same. They use that music.
Oh, really? I thought they redid parts of it, the arrangement.
Oh, maybe they did parts.
But it's just
later.
Like it just.
But it's
so
essentially
slow.
The same, yeah.
Yeah, it's like when. Oh, yeah. No, it's a natural. Like when he's smashing the lights when he hits the home run at the end.
You know what?
But like fireworks would be going just crazy during it.
Yeah.
The one I would think of, this is really just for me and Tins, I think. Maybe more. I was just listening to this song today, and I hate its chorus, but I like the intro, and it's of that Them Crooked Vultures song. I think it's called The Gunman.
That's
right.
I think that guitar is fucking crazy.
Would you just stalk towards the stage then?
Dude, I fucking burst through that door like it's my business, you know? And then fucking in like...
Dude, do you remember Stone Cold Steve Austin's entrance where like it would say Austin 316 and then it would shatter.
Yeah.
And then that would be like, the glass would shatter, and then it would kick into his music. That was so cool.
I love that.
What a fun effect.
Cool. Stone Cold was notorious for interrupting people who were just talking, right?
Yeah.
And so, of course, when you enter, you have to have your theme music. So, right? So someone would be having us be like, and that's why I'm going to, and you just hear the shatter, and everyone knew Stone Cold's coming.
Yeah.
So it's such a really good...
He's going to change the politics in this wrestling reality.
And he brought a beer.
Remember how he started, like that part of his gimmick in his big, big years when he was fighting Vince McMahon, part of his gimmick was just to drive... odd vehicles.
Yeah.
He drove a beer truck to a ring and then hosed down Vince McMahon with beer.
Yeah.
Then there was another time he like ran over Vince McMahon's limo in a monster truck. There was another time and then he rode the monster truck to the ring. He drove an ambulance to the ring once.
Stone Cold might have been the beginning of this like blue collar heroes sort of thing that's like really big now.
Yeah.
I mean
like John Cena, that sort of thing.
Maybe, yeah. But even like outside of wrestling, like you've got, you know, this like small town America is the only real America, And even like Larry the Cable Guy, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But like, before that, it was what's his name? Jeff Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy was around before Stone Cold.
Before Stone Cold, yeah, I guess.
Of course,
he's just another link in the chain.
Yeah. Okay. He's not that special.
I wouldn't call Jeff Foxworthy.
People from the South are weird, right?
I wouldn't call Jeff Foxworthy a blue collar like hero, though.
I disagree.
Jeff Foxworthy is a blue collar
hero. Once
you
wrote those redneck books, it was all over.
Maybe I'll amend this. Like, I think what Stone Cold did was turn a bunch of people who were like really well off suburban children into wannabe blue collar folk heroes.
Rednecks.
So I had so many friends who would be like, would like wear trucker hats and be like, "Y'all don't know what I mean because Stone Cold said so."
That's right. That's
and I was
what
like, your dad just bought you a car for your birthday. Like, fuck you. He'd
speak in the third person and then tell you that he said so. I remember now.
It's not unlike The Rock's monologuing, really.
Yeah, The Rock was amazing.
Just referring to himself.
What The Rock is smoking.
Yeah.
Is that a common thing?
He would use the word.
No, The Undertaker was never like, "And The Undertaker will kill you."
Yeah, he didn't say. He didn't really speak in third person. That
or
much.
The Shawn Michaels.
I miss wrestling because, you know, watching wrestling now, it's not the same. Like, I don't feel like we have the entertainer. Like, the entertainment is not what I thought it used to be. Like, The Rock was just awesome. God, remember The Rock?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's really
but what
good.
Is it that also you were younger and you idolized it?
No, man,
new?
I have the DVDs. I watch them now. And
it's like that
he
much
really
better.
Is that much better.
Well, right, like I remember.
Because I checked. I watched the DVD also to be like, was he really that good? Yes, he was.
Was Rock at the show you guys were at?
Yeah. Not that one, but he
I saw
was
Rock
at a.
My,
no, he
Rock.
Wasn't at the Shawn Michaels Vader one.
I went to a Monday night. Yeah, I went to a Monday night Raw show in like 2000, right before WrestleMania, and The Rock was there, and he was just fabulous. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. I cannot tell you how excited the entire arena got when he just did anything. He'd raise an eyebrow and the arena would explode.
The people's
eyebrow. It was amazing. And when he walked out there, I mean, he was just impressive to look at. He's 6 foot seven. The Rock's theme.
Yeah,
it was like boom, 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 boom.
The Rock says.
What the Rock says.
Rock says.
Shut your damn mouth.
Know your role.
And he would just strut out to the ring. And sometimes as he was strutting out there, he would be like swearing and talking shit.
Yeah,
like
that's
psyching
right.
himself up and yelling at the opponent. As he's strutting down there, he didn't have fireworks, but he didn't need them.
I liked it right when he turned from being a good guy to a bad guy. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he was so good at being a bad guy.
He was a great bad guy. But I think all the best wrestlers are the best bad guys. Like Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, they're great bad guys.
Shawn Michaels was a bad guy?
Shawn Michaels was a bad guy a bunch, but...
Not
then,
really. Well, I mean, at the beginning of his career. Because when they tried to turn him to be the bad guy in DX, people still loved him.
Yeah.
He was even bigger than he was before.
Oh, my God.
Because he was still a face. Good. Yeah. DX was great. But yeah, early on in his career, you're right, I did forget.
Yeah, he was a great bad guy where he would feud with Razor Ramon and Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You know, and Marty Jannetty, his former tag team partner.
Yeah.
You know what was crazy to me was more recently I was talking to my dad about wrestling, and he was, like, really pro-wrestling.
What?
But he wasn't, like, he didn't, like, he felt the same way, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, it's like, no fun anymore. They don't do anything. Well, I mean, we're not that down on it, but, you know, we're like, it's not the same. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, you know, what they got now, it's just, when I was a kid, we had Moose Cholak, and, like, it was a dude who was, like, he was from Minnesota, and his thing was that he was, like, a moose.
Haystacks Calhoun.
Yeah, he's like...
Was real back then?
No.
No,
it was, like, more goofy, maybe.
It's the same thing, but it was a lot more, simple amateur Greco-Roman wrestling.
Okay.
It was a lot more like that, but then with a little bit of extra flavor. Just a little bit.
And it was weird.
But even before that, like, when did it get started? Like, in the 30s?
Oh, even before.
Before that, like... I mean,
yeah, wrestling
like
goes way back.
Well, like, but kind of what it is. I was watching that thing with the Million Dollar Man with you, and they were talking about how he was like this one guy who wore a big...
Yeah.
Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
How the Million Dollar Man?
No, he idolized this guy.
The guy with the long blonde hair.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that is, oh gosh, the Nature Gorgeous Boy Buddy Rogers and Gorgeous George.
Mm. Yeah, and that was totally theatrical. And like half of the whole show.
Gorgeous George's long flowing blonde locks. That was it. Everybody knew Gorgeous George. Gorgeous George was a big thing. My grandparents and great grandmother and everybody knew Gorgeous George.
Yeah, and it wasn't about.
Doesn't
that
seem like a real badass wrestler.
No, he was. That was the thing. He was so effete.
So gorgeous.
And he was so effete, and he would act, you know, feminine. But then he would win because he would cheat.
He'd charm his opponent.
Well, no, he'd be beating up his opponent, and then he would, like, clean his nails, or he would, like, walk around and strut and stroke his hair, and be like, I'm so beautiful and better than you.
Wow.
And everyone would just hate him.
I think going away from that, I was just thinking, how if you were really to go into the reality and believe that this is wrestling's real, it's the only sport where the referee is constantly turning around and mischief is happening.
Referees.
No, these guys got it. No, you idiot.
Those
turn.
Referees need to be reprimanded every time that happens.
Every
like in the NBA, if a referee fucks up a call, he is fined. He is fined lots of money, and then he is getting talked to and probably not coming back.
Well,
for
they need to
contract.
Have just more referees, really.
Clearly. You know,
they
clearly.
Should just check the cameras.
Replays.
And then clearly,
they
the
instantly
referees.
Replay when they slam into tables and shit.
Can you imagine the ref of a wrestling match going to the camera? You know, I gotta check the video. And if you use the chair when I wasn't looking.
There's a flag. From one of the side refs.
Yeah, there's always multiple refs.
I turned back and there was just like three chairs all around the arena.
If wrestling refs were legit, can you imagine how big of a story it would be for all of those wrestling referee storylines? Like the evil twin referee that Earl and Dave Hebner had. That was a crazy storyline. There was one referee and he had a twin brother. And his twin brother was evil.
So
he would rig matches.
So it was a big storyline about a ref?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Every once in a while, there are referee storylines. There was
Ric Flair had the one in WCW where he had
There was Nick Patrick. Remember Nick Patrick? He turned and he was the NWO referee.
Oh, yeah.
There was that one. Who was the Ric Flair guy?
He was the newer guy at WCW, but he turned him into a mini Ric Flair.
Was that David something? He had blonde hair.
Yeah, blonde hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
guy.
So he would always ref Ric Flair's matches, and he would always, you know, obviously make him win.
There are a lot of ref storylines.
You gotta notice the corruption in the refereeing system.
It's so corrupt.
You can't turn a blind eye to that kind of corruption. Where are the police?
Right.
Really,
where
I mean, really.
And
who's gonna take charge here?
In the late '90s, there was like a trend that was really disturbing that developed with The Undertaker and referees. Because, like, shit would get out of hand in an Undertaker match, and then they would send out...
Tried to kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they would send out a pack of referees, like five of them. And these men...
From their holding pen.
And these men, yeah. They just were like, release the refs!
Stable.
As The Undertaker was... was, you know, manhandling his opponent after the match was over.
About to press a knife through his sternum in a dramatic scene placed in the middle
sidebar.
Of the ring.
Sidebar.
So they would release these referees. And
sidebar, Mankind versus Undertaker. That is a great feud.
Yeah. Oh, great feud, great feud.
That is an amazing feud. That was
so good.
Fun.
But these refs would be released, and then they would just be sent... They would be sent to just be horrifically beaten by The Undertaker.
Yep.
He would just beat up these five innocent referees. And it would happen like every fucking pay-per-view. Wow. And it was like, well, just send out the refs and here they go to die. It's like these men just know they're going to die at the hands of the brutal Undertaker.
Well, he would have coffin matches.
You would put people...
He had buried alive.
He had a buried alive match.
It's boring as balls.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's boring. Man, those outside, like, the ring matches suck.
Except for the Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, no, but, like, just,
suck my dick.
Just when they go and, like, oh, they have to fight next to a big hole that's been put in the theater or stadium or wherever they are.
Yeah.
They're going to bury him, but no, they're not. They're not going to kill him. And it's just so slow. It's just so slow. All right,
Mark's dad, settle down.
I like it because, like, the cool moves, like the amazing jumps and flips they do at each other and how well they execute, just the athleticism alone.
And you know, that's so why exciting. I loved ECW. Because ECW would, like, they just...
ECW
was...
Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, they were really awesome.
Yeah, they what they had to do is they told their wrestlers, they were like, hey, if we're going to compete with, like, the big guys, WWF and WCW at the time, we have to be fucking crazy. So they would have, like, barbed wire matches. They would have, like all these, like, these... They had this one match where I think it was Taz and Sabu, and they fought on a ton of tables.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
What do you mean they fought on a ton of tables? They stacked
tables. What does that mean?
Tables that were just stacked.
They stacked tables about 10, 15 feet above the ring. And then...
Like it's a pyramid?
Yeah.
And then it was like on...
Like
and
you're playing one of those old games where you jump up a pyramid of boxes?
Yeah.
Like and it's then human cubert?
If I recall, and they would just put each other through the tables.
Right.
Like, I might be mistaken, but I think I've seen clips of this, and they were just table, like, they weren't in a pyramid.
No, they were smart. Just stacked.
They were just, like, on top of each other.
Yeah.
Oh. Just like a table, and then directly above it is an identical table, and on top of that is
that
an identical table.
Like,
there was like two stacks.
Yeah.
So it's like a set of obstacles in like a video game. Then,
if that helps,
it's like
two
different platforms.
Reminds me of American Gladiator when they're on like the two different posts.
Yeah, but you can only be on the top of the stack of tables.
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous.
That is. Extremely dangerous.
Extreme Championship Wrestling, dude. They didn't give a fuck. They were like, whatever, I'll go through 40 tables.
They did. I remember I saw an Extreme Championship Wrestling match where it was like the Dudley Boys versus somebody.
They
were on the second level of the arena.
Oh, yeah, I remember that shit. Didn't they jump off?
They jumped from the second level of the arena to the first level of the arena onto their opponent.
Table, right?
Who was laying on a table. It was amazing. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
These people are crazy.
I feel like people love to watch people fight.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a timeless thing. You know, we have grandkids and whatever, like, there'll be people fighting.
Well, Gladiators.
The first time I saw Gladiator, I was really into wrestling, and I went with my friends, and we compared every single level of Gladiator to every... Like, we were like, the guy who pretends to eat the soup and gets choked, that's Triple H. Russell Crowe's character is Stone Cold, and then the black dude is The Rock. The very first time they fight in a gladiator, that's ECW. The second time, it's WCW. And then the very last time was WWF, and he had to fight Vince McMahon, who was the Emperor of Rome.
He had this huge allegory to WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Vince McMahon's wife is now a senatorial
candidate.
She's
running for Senate.
Yeah. She's running. She didn't win.
She won the primary.
I'm so not for that.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't care. I'm not there from there.
You know, I think why the Undertaker is like evil was so much more evil on the show is because like Vince McMahon and even with what just we said, like all the other things with evil figures, they always have like cowardice.
Yeah.
Like they're cowards.
Yeah.
They're all cowards, but they're evil. And even in Gladiator, he's a coward essentially. Yep. But Undertaker's not a coward. He's just pure evil.
He's like a demon.
He's a demon. And it's just like he would sacrifice people. Live on TV.
That's literally when I stopped watching wrestling.
He went
Undertaker turned to a god demon lord.
That was terrifying.
And he had the ministry.
He had a cult. A cult.
It was the ministry of evil.
Was it the ministry of darkness?
Yeah, that was so dark.
And so
a really dark storyline.
I know. And I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. That and I'm like in high school. I can't stop.
That's why
I was still.
I gotta get laid. This is not gonna get me laid.
Yeah, that's why I always loved Shawn Michaels because Shawn Michaels was just. Fun all the time.
I loved how cool Shawn Michaels was. Definitely my favorite wrestler and yours
my
too,
my favorite wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels.
I think he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's fun to watch and like when you get him in an interview, he's so charismatic. I mean,
I think the interview is like almost like 75% of wrestling.
Yeah. If you do a good interview, I'm going to like you, yeah. Even in the ring.
Yeah.
But I remember his DX interviews with Michael Cole. They used to pick on Michael Cole all the time. Oh, it was awesome.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Man, brutal for Michael Cole.
Do you guys like wrestling movies? Like the wrestler.
Well, there's only like a couple.
Or like Legendary, or like Nacho Libre with Devin Gray,
King of the Ring.
The guy I met when I went King to go of, see oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt
with Oliver Platt. Yes.
That's right.
And Joey Pants, Joey Pantaleone.
No, Lauren's right. Lauren met that dude with when she was Joseph meeting Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and yeah. some kid who's going to be in this John Cena wrestling movie that looks like complete garbage.
Called Legendary.
I just got a text message before the podcast that Mario just met Joseph Gordon-Levitt in New York.
No. Oh, sweet.
No way. Yeah.
Did he
really? Dude, I bet you totally had pizza with Joseph Gordon.
No,
why
he
took your phone
he
on
did
airplane
say,
mode?
He met him. He met him on, at a cafe.
Nice.
Oh, hanging
that,
out being
that makes sense.
Maybe a pizza cafe.
They'd both be in a cafe.
Yeah.
Just going Levitt's too.
They're having a fall formal, no joke, in New York. I like want to go back and dance with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Lauren.
This is turning into Cinderella. Not that you're like dressed in rags or anything.
In the fall.
Except Cinderella.
Which is what we all were thinking.
Disney.
Although Cinderella didn't like repeatedly go back to the ball and see if the prince had been hanging around.
Ask the prince if they want to get pizza.
Yeah. No, well, what's next is actually Joseph Gordon-Levitt will show up on the doorstep saying, "Are you the girl who wanted to have pizza?"
Yes. I like that
well,
story.
Well, you're too
Keith.
Dirty, peasant.
Instead of Lauren leaving a shoe, she leaves a slice of pizza. Like
and she has the rest of the pie?
Bring your pie and we'll try to match it.
And he puts it in and it's a perfect fit. It's the missing piece.
But what if Lauren got hungry and ate one piece so you couldn't verify?
Oh, that'd be rough. Yeah.
No,
that means
I would
people
not
are just bringing in their
it.
Own pizza pies.
They wouldn't match.
Everyone would be
that's
trying
a DiGiorno. Oh no.
He's
like
so old and moldy by then. That'd be
but
terrible.
It
doesn't matter. It's love.
Exactly.
Get it?
And he's got enough money to buy all the new pizza in the world.
You know that complete stranger that you're in love with?
I met him. He's not a complete stranger.
Yeah, he remembers you.
Hey, I'm on his video camera, not like
he's not watching movie. It like every day. I promise you
or
that.
Is he?
No.
Better than all of us.
Cloud stands up for dreams.
Yes, thanks, Cloud.
Dreams can come true, Lauren.
Oh, yay.
I like that for Clouds if she was running for campaign.
Dreams can come true, everybody.
Running for dreams.
Stand up for dreams.
Lisa Ridd Riley.
Gosh, you know, if you had a campaign to stand up for dreams, you'd have to put a lot of money in that campaign.
Yeah, it would
to make you know it really successful and to actually get that, you know, get that voted on.
Well, when I get Joseph Gordon-Levitt money, I'll fund your campaign.
No, but before then, he probably have. She would probably have to take a loan out. Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, no,
a loan
no,
out.
Got to
why
Joseph
do you
Gordon
try and
Levitt
destroy and this every single week, Lauren?
You know,
you might say she would have that. Lots you, of debt. What can we do with the debt, Lauren? Do you see what we're doing? We do it. We've done 36 times now.
No,
trying to go.
More.
We're trying to do the ad now.
All right.
Go ahead, Keith.
Actually, this is where I throw it over to B-Wa.
Yeah,
hey, if you have $10,000 or more of credit card debt, you need to call Legal Helpers Debt Resolution. They will guarantee.
Not a guarantee.
To take you on a date and have a nice dinner at Morton's Steakhouse. Place for good steaks. What's that number? They're singing
around
everywhere.
Around the globe.
Around the jingle. Around the globe.
That they're around singing the around the jingle.
With Morton's Steakhouse.
866-963-2354. Legal Helpers, their resolution. LegalHelpersDR.com.
Morton's Steakhouse.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
God damn it.
Invest in Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Man,
he'll have
Keith.
Pizza with Lauren, maybe.
Maybe.
Keith, I'm so hungry. What can I eat?
Not Bob Gibbs. We don't support them anymore.
Wait, I had actually have pop chips today. I bought them.
You bought them?
Yes, I bought
pop chips. Like many other people in Chicago.
Oh, I already did my nice sweet one.
Yeah, that one's done.
We've laid what did we rest. Say we were doing instead now?
Target, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Target today. Shoot it.
There you go.
Oh, really? Wait, would you, tell us. Great. Yeah, what'd you buy at Target?
Oh, well, I was with my mom. I got some boots and just a couple things.
Cool. I bet you were surprised at how much of savings you got and how good value.
Yeah, Clyde, how much of savings did you get?
A lot of savings.
$10,000
or more.
You saved $10,000.
I actually have a Target card. It's a credit card with a shitty limit on it that allows me to put credit.
Probably has a high interest rate.
You know?
It has a very high interest
Target
rate.
Target declined me for their credit card. I couldn't even get a Target card.
It's got a $200 limit on it, and they denied you.
That's probably good, because having working at Legal Helpers Debt Resolution, I know that people have a lot of debt with Target and are often coming in with their Target problems.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is a really good first advertisement for Target.
Second. And they're not fun to work with.
Well, I guess that wraps up our Target ads portion of the podcast.
If anyone has a new thing they want us to advertise, please send it along with other podcast-related information to info@octavarius.com. That's info@octavarius.com.
Easier to spell.
Yeah.
You found the secret.
Yeah, I did find the secret.
All right, that about wraps it up for this week, folks.
Come to the next
show at Comedy Sports, 7 o'clock on Sundays. It's going to be a blast.
West Belmont. Swear.
Yeah, seriously though, this wrestling show,
it's gonna be epic.
It's going to be unlike anything we've ever done, and I promise you that it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah, don't miss it, because we are super excited.
I'm really excited. I'm
sorry. Lots of dumb costumes. Cole,
I wish he was here today.
Yeah.
He
probably could have shed a lot more light than we could have.
He's going to listen to this podcast. It's going to be like idiots.
Fucking idiots, man.
Maybe we can get him to do the next one then. About kindergarten.
We'll ask him if
we got a wrestling specialist to talk about kindergarten.
Wait, how did Mark? Did you just spoil the next letter?
No, I have no. Look, LP, I don't know what Fozzie Gian's
www.octavarius.com.
That's our website that we run.
Take us out, Tins, before Mark reveals more. All right, check back every Monday for a fresh podcast. Lauren, why don't you bring us out?
All right.
No, what have you done?
Everybody have 8 legs and a wicked week. Everybody say bye.
I knew she would fuck it up.
So close.
We've done so close. We've done 36 of these, Lauren, and you still can't fuck it.
8 legs.
All right, Lauren. Everybody say bye.
No, not yet.
No. Right. Not everybody say bye. It's say bye, everybody.
She gonna do
all right, everybody.
Say Joseph Gordon-Levitt, everybody.
Seriously, though, have 8 legs and a wicked week. Everybody say bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, what a podcast.
That was great.
Lauren, you need to listen to getting a headlock.
You're running out of time.
He's coming back for more.
Where's the remote? Is it over yet?
Are you done?
Is it over yet?